Richardson, the running back. They give it to him over the right side. Dives. He's in. Touchdown. Trent Richardson.
Weaver looking right corner of the end zone. Throws. Touchdown. Jordan Cameron.
What a beautiful throw.
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio. This is Cleveland Browns Daily. Driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Reading the throw. He's going to go long. Looking long for Gordon. He's out there. He's got it. 10-5. Touchdown. No doubt about it.
And now, here are your hosts, Vic Carucci and Nathan Zagora.
As part of this week, with the exception of right guard, corner, the kicker and punter position, we'll start the group that we're expecting and planning on starting at the beginning of the season. That also includes the quarterback position, where Brandon Whedon will be our starting quarterback for this team.
There it is, the official announcement.
There it is, the official announcement. Head coach Rob Chudzinski making official what we knew all along. Brandon Whedon, the starting quarterback of the Cleveland Browns. Nathan Zagora back alongside the notorious VIC. Vic Carucci here in the Dog Bowl in Berea. Reunited, Vic, and it feels so good. And I'm excited for Brandon Whedon. We all knew it. We talked about it last week. We said there is no competition, but now it is official, and that is just off the table as a discussion point. Now Brandon Whedon, who has been basically the best player in the NFL in the preseason, is now the starting quarterback of the Cleveland Browns.
Well, first things first, welcome back.
Thank you. Feels good to be
back. Great to have you here. I missed you.
I miss you too, man.
We've only worked together a few weeks, and then all of a sudden you're gone, and I said, where's my guy? And you're back, but we had some competent replacements.
Of course.
A guy named
Excellent.
Donovan, you might have heard of him,
yeah.
The voice of the Browns and
sure.
A couple other people. But anyway, it's all good. Yeah, we knew this was coming, and there's no surprise here whatsoever. The guy who has taken all the first-team reps through the offseason and training camp, and it was obvious, I think it was obvious in the offseason, that he would be the guy. I think it matters that Rob Chudzinski and to a larger extent the organization felt it was important to put the notion out there that there was competition, and at least in Brandon Whedon's mind, that he knew he had to do something special, I think, to make sure for everybody's sake that this was the layup call that it was. And what did that was what? Those two performances in the preseason, that 72% completion deal in the preseason, that 139.8 quarterback rating in the preseason, 3 touchdown passes, no interceptions. He did enough in those two games to make this as silky smooth an announcement of a starter as you could have. I mean, he just walked into it.
I know. It's like in other news, pizza is delicious. You know what I mean? Brandon Whedon was the starter. He went out there, and yes, they said, listen, you're going to have to earn it. And all he did was go 18-25 for 229 and 3 scores.
But if he didn't, and he probably would still end up being the starter, but
of course,
if it wasn't that spectacular, there'd be that little bit of a sinking feeling with an announcement like this. This just comes with the bonus of a real strong couple of preseason underscore games.
Right, and listen, all you can do is deliver in the opportunities you're given. And in the preseason, obviously the defenses are playing a little bit more vanilla, as it were, but the Browns did face some blitzes. They have faced what I would consider to be two of the stronger defensive lines, in the National Football League, in the St. Louis Rams, and then, of course, the Detroit Lions with Ndamukong Suh, Nick Fairley right in the middle of that one. So I thought what was really impressive to me about this performance for Brandon Whedon was that early on, it didn't start so good. The second game did not start that great. They had a lot of pressure there, did not have the opportunity to really, you know, throw the ball down the field. And all of a sudden, they figured out some of the protections, got him some time, and Brandon Whedon started delivering and drilling the football in there. He looks very, very good, and I think as a Browns fan, and certainly as this, we get to talk about this here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, I'm excited about what Brandon Whedon's shown. I'm excited about this offense. It just proves, you know, we talked about it, Vic. They're going to be different on offense. They're going to be different on defense. It's going to be more attacking. You're going to see more shotgun. And now after two games, at least people know that, yes, that is the case. And, yes, the potential for this to be an exciting, dominant type of an offense exists for the Cleveland Browns for the first time in a very, very long time.
It's got people talking around this
all
country.
Around the country.
I mean, I had an opportunity just about half an hour ago to go on SportsCenter on ESPN. Jay Crawford, a Cleveland guy, co-hosting, and was all fired
They're
up
everywhere.
To talk.
I love it.
Well, no, just to talk Browns. I bring it up because it's about the Browns, and it's about the excitement about this football team. And a couple of points that he brought up, I mean, we started talking about Whedon, the obvious, and he wanted to talk about how he's improved and went into the whole thing about Norv Turner's influence on him as a quarterback. But then he brought up the change in the culture, in the winning culture, with the hirings of Turner and of Ray Horton. What's changed around this football team with Joe Banner? I liked hearing that from, again, someone, even if he's got a Cleveland bias, to talk about that on a national scale.
And because it's becoming palpable. I think you see the changes. Those of us around this building see it in organizationally from the top down. And now I think nationally, it looks like a different team. It looks like a different organization. The perception of the Cleveland Browns, if nothing else has been accomplished, the perception of the Cleveland Browns has changed dramatically from where it was when the final gun sounded week 17 of last year to where it is now. Two preseason, not even regular season games,
right.
Two preseason games in. This organization is viewed and this team is viewed and this quarterback has been viewed in an entirely different light, and it's all positive. And I think that is a wonderful thing that you can build momentum on. I'm not going to sit here and tell you the Browns are going to the playoffs this year. As much as I like, as you like to say, I get the pom-poms out, I'll be realistic. But this is a team that will be a better product to watch on the field. And if they get some breaks, some things happen right, this is a team that maybe could scratch and claw their way to a 9-7 season and a wild card. But I still think that no matter what ends up happening at the end of the year record-wise, this is a team and an organization that you can feel very confident is headed in the right direction.
We want to hear from you. 216-578-0850, 216-578-0850. Dial us up. Tweet us at Browns_daily. Always love your comments and your questions and want to incorporate them in the show. Rob Chudzinski had a lot to say this morning, obviously, about this making official, the move of Brandon Whedon becoming the starting quarterback. And he addressed, too, just how he's progressed to reach the point where he, in the mind of the whole organization, they felt comfortable making him the starter.
It was important for me and for us to go through the process and this process that we followed, the plan that we followed throughout the off season and started in April in the meetings and carried out into OTAs on the field, the multiple mini camps we had, the training camp, the number of weeks in training camp that we had, as well as a couple of the first two preseason games. So that we could get these guys and see them react to a lot of different situations that would come up, you know, how they would handle them and so forth. Based on this process, Brandon has earned this job, and that's extremely important to me.
Yeah, earn the job. I think it's that part of it is significant. We can say
yes.
That we never doubted that he was going to be the guy just because of what our eyes told us all the way through. But I think hearing that from the head coach is important. And it's important to Brandon Whedon, but I think it's important to everyone else on that football team to believe that there is support for him. He also went out of his way to say the organization, top to bottom, is behind this guy. We're all in this together behind Brandon Whedon. This isn't a tentative naming of a starter. You know, they're all in with Brandon Whedon. And I think that part of it is significant.
It is significant, and quite frankly, based on what he's shown, why wouldn't they be behind him? But to have that stated so publicly by the head coach, Rob Chudzinski, I think is awesome. Remember, folks, this coaching staff, this general manager, this organization did not draft Brandon Whedon. So Brandon Whedon really came in and had to prove himself all over again. And I think it's interesting to note that he was very highly regarded coming out of college. He played very, yeah. very well at Oklahoma State. There was a reason that he was taken in the first round. Some people say, well, maybe he could have gone the second. Others would have been scared away by his age. But the fact of the matter is the guy can sling the pill around the yard a little bit. And we talked yesterday with Jim Donovan about the rookie quarterbacks that did so well last year, RG3, Andrew Luck, of course, Russell Wilson. And the point that I made yesterday, and I think it is worth repeating, is that those guys were brought into systems that became tailored to them. Once Russell Wilson became the guy, Pete Carroll built his offense around Russell Wilson.
Right.
Mike Shanahan ran an offense that he had never really run before because that suited RG3 the best. Andrew Luck, they tailored their offense to what he did best in Indianapolis. That was not the case for Brandon Whedon. Of the rookies that start, even in Ryan Tannehill, He worked with Mike Sherman at Texas A&M. Mike Sherman comes in, and so he knows the offense that Ryan Tannehill will flourish in. That was not the case for Brandon Whedon. We said that all along, and I think you're finally getting to see what Brandon Whedon can do in an offense that is suited to his strengths. And to me, that is awesome because that shows some level of support and some understanding of football. And it also says that the organization's behind him schematically, and now he is paying them back, saying, thank you, put me in the right system, let me show you what I can do, and now he's shown them.
And he had to show them. And I mean, I think that was the key here, to say and presume that he would just do it because it was something that looked like a better fit wasn't going to cut it. He had to literally go out and make the plays that he's made, make chunk plays that he made. I mean, that first game, we talked a lot about efficiency against the St. Louis Rams.
Sure.
The Detroit Lions, who, by the way, I thought other than their front, defensive front, posed very little resistance defensively. They played a horrible game. I know,
yes.
I know their head coach was disgusted with what he saw, and he should have been, Jim Schwartz. And I know Jim well, and I saw him after the game, and he just said, we were horrible. I mean, he didn't want to get into any discussion about how good the Browns look. Sometimes, I go to guys, especially coaches I've known around the league, and I'll get some insights as to what they think about the Browns, just to get that other view, that outside view. But he was in only a mood to be upset about his football team. That said, if you're playing a bad team or a team on a bad day or whatever it was for the Lions in a preseason game, you should tear it up. And he did tear it up. And the receivers, you know, found their places to get open. There were wide, gaping holes in the coverage. So Josh Gordon better make the catches he made. Jordan Cameron better make the receptions he made. And yes, Brandon Whedon made some really nice throws to complete some of those passes. The first touchdown pass to Cameron, especially that second one, he was wide open, a little easier, a lot easier. But I think we're getting a feel for what this offense will look like. And yes, it's a teaser too, because with all this euphoria over how well this offense performed, especially in that second game against the Lions, there is that cloud of Josh Gordon going away for those first two games. That he, you know, that tantalizing performance of catching those three passes and looking dynamite. Yep. That's going to go away for a while after the season's done.
Yeah, and what's tough about that is Josh Gordon really showed you everything that he could do there. One of the passes was a go route, a chunk play, vertical throw, hauled that one in for 34 yards. Then he showed you what he can do when he comes across on a short drag, catches the ball, makes somebody miss in the open field, picks up 17 yards. Then he shows you on what I thought was Brandon Whedon's best throw of the day, third down, back near their own goal line, and he drills kind of that post into Gordon down the field. So Gordon showed you a short route, an intermediate route, and a deep route. Showed great hands, showed great after the catch ability. Whedon threw the ball very accurately on all of those. And it is a little bit of a tease. You wonder how it's going to look because, let's be honest, two of the most exciting people in the preseason outside of Jordan Cameron, who's been my guy, and I love him and I love to see him get utilized that way, Josh Gordon and Deion Lewis. And now Deion Lewis will certainly not be there. We don't know exactly how long just yet, but certainly not the first two. Neither will Josh Gordon. So it is a little troubling to see how, you know, the offense, it's going to have all this momentum, and then all of a sudden, Josh Gordon's not going to be there. But it's interesting. He said that the starters are going to start game three, which makes me think that we're going to see Travis Benjamin get the opportunity. We'll get an opportunity to look at how the offense will look without Josh Gordon and the first team.
Now, another thing that we should talk about, this team made a move yesterday. Pretty key move here.
Huge.
They make a trade with the Seattle Seahawks. They get a guard. His name is John Moffitt. And he comes in exchange for Brian Sanford, who essentially just had a nice training camp
and a great preseason.
And his value was such that the Browns get a starter with experience in exchange for a promising young defensive lineman that Seattle had its eye on. And kudos to the Browns here. I mean, this is a guy who started four games at right guard last season for the Seahawks, two at left guard. He's versatile. He's strong. He's tough. Again, he could play center as well as guard. But for the Browns' needs right now, he's going to compete, as Rob Chudzinski said, for that starting right guard spot with Jason Pinkston, Sean Laval, nursing those ankle injuries, out of the picture. The only real option that the Browns looked to before acquiring Moffitt was Garrett Gilkey, who was okay. I mean, he's a rookie who got thrown into action against the Lions and looked mostly like a rookie thrown into action against the Lions. Now you see in Moffitt a player who I think is going to bring something that's a little scrappier. He brings a lot of personality. He brings the winning culture of Seattle to the Browns. that matters.
Yeah, it's bringing in another excellent player, like you just pointed out, from a winning franchise. And I did a little look at John Moffitt. Last year, John Moffitt played the majority of snaps, and he can play both left guard and right guard. Started at both positions for the Seahawks last year. Be a right guard, I would imagine, here in Cleveland. Last year, in the 7 games that he played the majority of the snaps, Marshawn Lynch ran for 796 yards and 8 touchdowns on 5.5 yards per carry. In the other 9 games of the year, Lynch ran basically total 1,590 yards, 11 total touchdowns, so he was and 5 yards a carry. So Lynch was unbelievable, but when Moffitt was in the lineup, Lynch was even better last year again. 7 games, 796 yards rushing, 5.5 yards per carry.
Trent smiling. Trent
Richardson is liking this because when you look at the line, the Browns were set at 4 spots. Right guard, right tackle, left tackle, center, left guard. The right guard with the 2 injuries became a big problem, and now that hole in the dam, as you like to say, is plugged, and I tips my cap to the organization because they traded from what we have said all along is the biggest position of depth and strength on this team. That is the defensive line, the defensive front, and they bring in a position of need for a guy who, by the way, was a third-round pick just 2 years ago, 2011, from Wisconsin. I think this was a very, very good move, and another one of those moves is probably going to fly under the radar in a lot of national media, but will be a very important one for your Cleveland Browns. Still to come here on today's show, Jerod Cherry checks in the bottom of hour number 1. We will hear from TJ Ward in hour number 2, and we're going to hear from you. We got callers on hold already. People are fired up. 216-578-0850. Get us on Twitter at Browns_daily. It is CBD, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.